Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
You know, it's not what we say Jesus is. It's what we do that proves who he is in our life. And it's so much, you know, it's easier these days to say a lot of words. You know what I'm saying? But it's the fruit and the action that really says it all. And in Luke chapter 6, Jesus asks a really important question. I mean, Jesus is asking a question. Mm-hmm. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I mean, that's startling. If Jesus is going to ask you a question, I'm saying, I don't want it to be that one.
Yeah, not that one.
But why do you call me Lord, Lord, boss, boss, master, master, but you don't do what I say? And you can imagine, I mean, Jesus was talking to crowds all the time. I mean, people followed Jesus everywhere. They came from, I mean, long distances. They would travel for hours just to be an earshot of him. He was extremely popular. And we don't have to look past one particular account to really imagine what was it like when he shared, when he fed the 5,000. Remember that, when he fed the 5,000?
Mm-hmm.
Those were 5,000 men that were gathered.
Mm-hmm.
5,000 besides women and children.
Right.
Wrap your mind around that. He healed them. He prayed for them. And you could imagine him. Some guy standing up, I said, I'm not leaving until he touches me. I'm going to stay in this line.
Yeah.
There's 5,000 men, not including women and children. He had compassion on them. He prayed for them, healed them. Then the disciples said, you guys got to feed these guys here. And this is, you know, they're a long way from home.
Yeah.
They traveled out here logistically. And so Jesus, you know, was familiar with crowds. There's a lot of people crowding and coming around the Lord. And think about it. There's still large crowds today surrounding the Lord,
mm-hmm,
that appear to be going after Jesus. And the truth is that you can fool some people some of the time. You may be able to fool yourself sometimes as well. But there's one person that you'll never be able to fool, and that is God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an important question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And if it's true in the time of when Jesus walked on the face of the earth, if Jesus had to ask the question when Jesus was walking on the face of the earth, believe me, I probably still think it's true for some today. That there are those who call Jesus Lord, and they say they're Christians, but they don't obey God's word. And I believe one of the reasons this is happening is because there has been a no lordship gospel being preached. And it basically says that, hey, listen, just accept Jesus into your heart. You know, Jesus died for your sins. Jesus loves you. Just accept him as your savior. And, you know, essentially, you know, that's all you got to do. I'm not really saying in all those particular words, but
mm-hmm,
don't worry about living for him or reading his word or obeying what he says, because all you have to do is just believe.
Right.
Think about that. Let me tell you, we need to preach the full gospel, the full message that you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He is one. He is Savior and Lord. And listen, if you're not ready to accept him as Lord, then let me tell you, then you're not ready to accept him as Savior. You know what I'm saying? They're one and the same. It's like someone, it's like, you know, if you're not ready to be committed to only one person when you marry, and you want to be with others too, you're not ready to be married.
Mm-mm.
You know, you're not ready to be married. What woman wants to be with a husband like that, and what husband wants to be with a woman like that, a wife like that?
Mm-hmm.
They call that thing, they call that an open relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if you wouldn't settle for, if they wouldn't settle for that type of relationship, why do others attempt to have an open relationship with the Lord? You know, I'll take the blessings. I'll take the salvation. I mean, that's pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? Definitely don't want to go to hell. Definitely mm-hmm. don't want that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Do want you to get me out of my troubles. Love that. Love the healing. That's all cool.
All right.
But this Lord stuff, this eat my flesh, drink your blood stuff, this is where I'm having the dilemma. And let me tell you something. It's like we gotta preach all the letters in red. You know what I'm saying? Everything. And Jesus comes to take over. He's not an addition. It just doesn't happen that way. I mean, Jesus said you can't have two masters. You can only serve one and despise the other. We share this often, but only 81% of believers, according to George Barna. This is staggering. 81% of Christians actually read the Word of God, and only 3% feel that they're responsible for their own spiritual development.
Right.
Contrast that to what Jesus says, that you should not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not to mention that in Matthew 7, the Lord says that many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, boss, boss, master, master, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? And then I will tell them plainly. I call that speaking English. I will talk to them plainly.
Right.
I never knew you. Mm. Away from me. This is Jesus. I encourage you to read the Word of God slowly.
Yeah.
You know, you can burn through, you know, just read through. No, this is not a speed reading exercise.
It's not a textbook.
No. If you have to, put your index finger on each word. You know, I used to read real fast. I had to slow myself down years ago and putting my finger on each word to really think about what's being said here. Away from me. You evildoers. A little extra there.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
This is Jesus says. And we're seeing a pattern here that people don't have a problem saying, Lord, Lord. But let me tell you, God's not interested in what you're saying about his lordship. He's interested about what you're doing, the fruit in your life that shows that he is the Lord. And it's very simple. Your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. I'm going to say that again for you.
Do that again.
Your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks.
Wow.
The question is how is your walk?
Mm.
God is not interested in your talking. He's interested in your walking. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is not about talking our way into God. This is about having a fruitful relationship. And Jesus, he just asked the question. This is important. He asked the question. Why do you say to me? Why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You know, it's not what we say who Jesus is, but it's what's happening in, you know, it's what we do that proves who he is in our life. And, you know, Jesus asked a question. He said, man, why do you call me? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? And it's so important because your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And God's not interested in what we're talking. He's interested in how we're walking, right?
That's right.
And the question is, why do we do this? You know, why do you do this? And this is a question really based out of love. If you understand God's heart, he's asking in our heart. He wants us to think about this. He wants us to examine ourselves. And the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test.
Mm.
I mean, this is the Apostle Paul talking. It's like, you know, he spoke English too. You know, he spoke English. He just put it out there plain. We gotta examine ourselves.
I think he spoke Greek.
Yeah, Greek, Hebrew.
Arabic.
Actually, Hebrew. But
you're right, Arabic.
But examine yourself. Now, I'd rather examine myself on this side of eternity than, you know what I'm saying? On the other side, it's going to be a little too late. I don't want to do that examination. But I want to do it on this side. And it's important to evaluate our walk. Is our walk matching our talk? With everything that's happening in America, I mean, almost every day, every week, we're seeing prophetic fulfillment around the globe, especially in America. And we're seeing the judgment of God. And we know that the answer for America, you know, is not for the world to get right. It's for the church to get right first, right?
That's right.
If we do four things, then God will do three things. He already told us in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, one, and pray, two, and seek my face, three, and turn from their wicked ways, four, then I, God, will what? Hear from heaven, one, will forgive their sin, two, and will heal their land, three.
Mm.
We got to begin to what? Humble ourselves, right? Stop trying to get God to bless what you want to do. God will bless what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to bless our plans. He's going to bless his plans. And instead of asking God to approve of what you want to do, ask God. Ask God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And I'll do it. The second thing is we pray. We have communion with God. We open the doors to fellowship. And when you pray, you're just simply communicating with God, which is a twofold experience, right?
Right.
Involves talking and listening, right? Prayer positions us to hear what God wants to say. And many have reduced prayer to a laundry list of things for God to do. And God, could you do them quickly?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have failed to recognize the great privilege of communing with God. And then what that does, it allows us, it positions us to be able to seek God's face. I mean, God told Moses, you can't see my face and live. So we're talking about seek his face. What is it, seek his face? Well, you'll never seek after God if you don't communicate with him, right? So you got to pray. But seeking his face means that you seek him with pure motives, that you're not seeking his hand, his provision, or what you want him to do for you, but you're eagerly seeking out the Father's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important. You know, Paul said, this was Paul's confession, okay? Paul's confession of Romans 1:1. He says, I am a devoted slave of Christ. I'm a bondservant. Peter said the same thing in 2 Peter 1:1, where it says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. They opened their letter saying, let me introduce myself to you. I am the slave of Jesus Christ.
Right.
In case you didn't know,
right.
Let me make it plain. A devotion to one, to another, without a regard of one's own interests. Listen to that. A devotion to another without a regard to one's own interests. When you encounter God, like we talked about yesterday, when you encounter Jesus, you just want to give yourself and say, listen, the life that I have, this little life, it belongs to you. It belongs to you.
Mm.
Why? Because God's will has become now your will. Because God's desires have become what? Your desires.
Right.
You've traded your dreams for, guess what? His dreams. His dreams. In fact, his desires have become your dream. And we seek after his heart of love. And this is important. This is all good. This, mm-hmm. All these first three are really nice. But it really has to end. right? This is where the walking gets walking, mm-hmm. right? Is when we begin to turn, repent from wicked ways.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned. And he says, I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I actually had I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. And in my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, that one is going to cost you. And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that the Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. I mean, think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him, Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face, you're about to see on your road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got five fingers. This finger represents this, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom.
Bam.
And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right. You know,
get on the right side.
And the organizer became the organized that day. Mm. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that, right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God, but he was the answer to everybody for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a, you know, he was too Christian to be sucked by the Jews and too Jewish to be sucked by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where
and pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part. Yeah. But
I'm sure he thought.
Wash me, Jesus. And think about that. That the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against Him. That if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them His awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, organize me.
Oh, holy night, and the stars are brightly shining.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
In sin and error pine.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
This is where the rubber hits the road.
Yeah.
You know, everybody loves the Holy Ghost party, right? Everyone loves the glory of God. But the glory of God don't come without, you gotta have repentance. And repentance is turning away from the sins. In fact, Matthew 3:8 says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. I mean, let this thing show up in your life, right?
Right.
And then what God's going to do? You know, when we get serious with God, what's going to happen? God's going to get serious with us. Mm-hmm. So he's asking the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't even do what I say? Listen, if we humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, then God, in response to our first action, God, in response to what we actually walked out, will respond back to us. And the first thing he says is, listen, I'm going to hear you. To have access to God, that he actually hears you, he hears your heart, he hears your prayer, he's going to hear us. Second thing he's going to do, he's going to forgive us. Let me say, the greatest need we have right now is for God to forgive us of the wickedness that we have done, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll have compassion, right? He'll forgive us and he'll heal our land. And our land needs so much healing. But you know what? It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with us. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You have to examine yourself. You have to examine yourself. So he says, I will show you. Jesus, let me make it plain for you again. He goes on to say in Luke 6, I will show you what he is like who comes to me, hears my words, and puts them into practice. Right? He talks about a house, and he makes this comparison about a house that's built on the right foundation and then a foolish foundation. When he talks about the house being built on the right foundation, he says this house has a foundation that when the storms come, when the torrents come, when the winds come to take it out, it stands in the end. But then there's, you know, a foolish builder, right, who builds on a house with no foundation. Let me go back and say this, that if you build your house on the right foundation, the spirit, your spiritual house, if you build the foundation on Jesus Christ, it's, listen, the storm reveals what your house made out of. Mm-hmm. But then there's the foolish builder, right? You have two options. It has, you know, he didn't build on a foundation. And the thing about it is that it has an outward appearance. People have an outward appearance that your spiritual house is in order. But in reality, it's all a facade. Your house has no foundation. It's built on weak, shifty sand. And when the storms come, when the torrent wind comes, your spiritual house collapses in on itself. So Jesus is making it clear, listen, don't call me Lord, Lord. Don't play church. Don't have religion. Don't hang around the cross, right? Get on the cross. Don't say, Lord, Lord, and you're not even following. You have no relationship with me. You're not putting my words into practice. You're talking, but you're not walking. You're merely fooling yourselves because there's a time coming. There's a wind that's coming. There's a storm that's coming to your life. And if you don't know me, just knowing about me, being familiar with me is not going to be enough. You got to build your house on the right foundation. Mm-hmm. And he's giving us a loving warning. We can't give God lip service because in the end, both these houses look alike. But what's going to happen to the house that's not built on the right foundation? And many today have settled for a form of godliness. It's a form, just a little bit of Jesus, just enough religion, just enough to blend with the crowd, and they have staked their eternal life on that. And then they keep building on it. They keep building and building, married, kids, careers, everything, religious stuff. But they didn't really truly encounter God, never lived totally surrendered to him. And in the end, when you realize that it was all for naught, it was all a waste. When the storm comes, you really find out what your house is really made out of. And how many homes have been destroyed literally destroyed, and you're literally holding on to broken 2x4s and busted windows and doors. And it's a sad way for it all to end. And that's why we can take heed to what Jesus is saying. He's warning us. He's asking us the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I want to encourage you that if you call him Lord and you're doing what he says, then when the wind comes and you've made Jesus your foundation, you will stand and you will remain in Christ. You will remain in Christ. We have a choice today. We have a choice, church. We have a choice, church. Which way are we going to go? Are we going to build on a solid, true relationship with Jesus Christ on the rock? Or are we going to build on sand for sand and have a facade of a relationship? I want to tell you something. There's nothing like building on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that matters, and he'll be faithful to the end.
You know, I was reading this morning in Matthew 11. And, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, I remember where I came from. You know what I'm saying? Without Jesus, it's just impossible to do things fruitfully or productively or, you know, with anything that's going to last. You know what I mean?
Right.
And in Matthew, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I mean, besides, you know, God saving me, and I think about, you know, when I did give my life to the Lord, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen a yoke. You know, a yoke is huge. I mean, this is this big wooden metal contraption that hangs around these animals on the back of their necks. And usually it's a pair of oxen or whatever. And they drag this thing behind them that, you know, tears up land or drags equipment or whatever. And it's just this massive thing. When you think about a yoke, you know, it's so heavy. You know, think about the yoke that's on us before we give our lives to the Lord. It's just this just huge weight of sin. And I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, it was almost something like this 5,000-pound weight came off my shoulders. I don't know if you had that same experience. It was just like felt lighter and just everything was brighter. The grass was greener. The sky was blue. You know what I'm saying? It's just that's that yoke he was talking about. It's that you know, the sin and you know the burdens and the cares of this world, and all of a sudden it's just gone. And that just that really paints a perfect picture of what that yoke he's talking about. But then he says, you know, but you need to take my yoke.
Yeah. He was going to say about that, that, you know, that yoke that we carry, it's our attempts outside of knowing God to be God. Exactly. That thing is crushing us and destroying us because we're trying to live a life separate from God. Leonard Ravenhill said the greatest sin, it was the people were talking about adultery, the greatest sin is not adultery. He said the greatest sin is somebody attempting to live their life apart from God. That's the greatest sin.
Exactly.
You know, let's get real, and you have this burden, this thing that's crushing you down and all this sin, you're carrying a heavy yoke. I mean, that's so good what you're saying.
Yeah. And when he puts that yoke, his yoke on us, it's not that he's doing everything for us. It's a partnership. You think about it, there's two oxen under the yoke. There's two of them working together.
Yeah.
But it's not going to crush us when we allow him to help us carry it. You know, he's the one leading, you know what I'm saying? He's the one holding all the weight. But then there's that times when we get so confident in our own abilities, all of a sudden, you know, we got this thing figured out now, you know, things are happening, things are green. We start looking at our armor and, you know what I'm saying? We forgot, there was that part where he said, where I'm humble and I'm, you know, we forgot to look, do what he did.
Yeah.
And then he'll just take his finger off of it for a minute and we were like crushed.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, God.
Yeah. Well, it was started in the spirit.
Now we're trying to fulfill in the flesh.
Exactly.
That's right.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Park at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Just Fishing Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fishing Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
My name is Jamian, and I'm from Texas, and I really wish that everyone could figure out the Holy Spirit of God, and if we could follow Him, we could probably be good, and God will probably make us gooder, and I think that what would we do if we could figure out if God can give us power, like following Him? If we could do that, maybe we can finally figure out the Holy Spirit, and if we have a Bible and we're reading it, you might want to follow it, because it gives you more stuff to follow the Lord, and the Bible, it's what God is wanting you to do. And I think if you follow it, then you would be one of the angels from God.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
So that's so important not to take off His yoke.
That's right.
Not to try to run ahead of God and, you know, think that we can do it on our own, which is impossible. Mm-hmm. Like you were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ludicrous to think that we can do this on our own. And it's just amazing, you know, what God's done in our lives, the things that He's allowed us to do for Him.
Yeah, it's so totally amazing. It's so totally amazing. And I think about that yoke, you know, the whole idea for the yoke, it's what the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. Don't be unequally yoked.
Oh, that's right.
You know what I mean? Right. And the thing about it is that if you have a two ox or two cows yoked, this contraption on one neck, and then it's on the other cow, let's say,
mm-hmm.
they're supposed to be moving together at an equal pace.
Right. Exactly.
So that they can, normally they're dragging some sort of, you know, what do you call those?
Like
trial or something, so they can dig up the ground, so they can, you know, make the ground.
They till up the soil,
They till up the soil. That's what I'm trying to say. And but if you have one ox that's too strong, then what happens is that one ox overpowers the light ox, and they're not going in straight circles. They're crisscrossing all over the place, going around in circles. They're not going straight. They're just going where the strong ox takes them, because the other one's not able to keep it moving at an equal pace. And and so you can be carrying a heavy yoke of yourself. You can be yoked with somebody else who's going the wrong way. It's like, this is going nowhere real fast. You know, I've been on that yoke cycle. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is misery. This is misery, you know? And it wasn't until I found the Lord, I realized that this is not meant to be. This was not meant to be. I'm amazed at how many, and I look back at my life, what was I doing? Trying to attempt to live a life apart from God is insanity. And that's when people are crashing, they're burning, they're heavily medicated.
Oh my God.
Doing all sorts of stuff because you weren't designed to be God. You weren't designed to be God. God is God.
Exactly. We weren't meant to carry all this.
Yes.
It wasn't as, I mean, that's why we're so ate up with cancers and diseases, and they got a pill for everything. Because we're so messed up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to do things in our own flesh.
Yeah.
And therefore, it wreaks havoc on our bodies.
Yeah. But the Lord gives an invitation. I love what you said. He gives an invitation. He says, take my yoke. Take my way. You know, put this on you. A yoke has to be put on. You know, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I mean, we can stop right there. You know what I'm saying? God wants to teach us. He wants us. Jesus lived this perfect life, and he has given us every single thing we need to live godly. Right. Okay. He's blessed us in the spiritual realm with every blessing. Right?
That's right.
God has equipped us. He has empowered us. He's given us his word, his Holy Spirit. Right. He gives us opportunity to commune and speak with him and pray. Right.
That's right.
The power of God, the blessing of the Lord, the grace of God. We have everything that we need. He says, come. It's an invitation. Come. Take my yoke. This is a partnership. Come be with me. Take that thing off of you and learn. Learn from me. And that's an invitation that we should all take. He says, listen, I'm gentle. I'll be easy with you.
Yeah.
You know, my perception of God when I didn't know him.
Yeah.
Was that he had a big ruler. And he was looking to spank my hand every time that, you know, I messed up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to be real with this. And you know, part of my story was just that, listen, I was away from God in my college years, and probably, I'm sure before that, but definitely my college years, and I didn't know God. I had a form of godliness, but I just didn't know him. And I remember my mom trying to talk to me about the Lord. And I was so far away from God. That's how you can be darkened in your understanding, blinded. I was so far away that I'd say, your God doesn't want me. Because everything that I want to do is sin.
Right.
And we don't, and you know, we don't gel, and he's just gonna put, you know. I didn't know God. But God gives an invitation. He gives an invitation because he's gentle and he's humble in heart. That we can find rest for our souls.
That's right.
And that's exactly what I needed. That's what you needed. It's what we all need.
We all need it.
Our souls are just maxed out. I mean, and that burden is so crushing that the only relief, the real relief that we could ever have is when we actually come to the Lord and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to get this off of me. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this. If you're listening today and you're tired of dragging that yoke, you're tired of the sin, you're tired of just being crushed by everything that's happening, and you don't know God. And you don't, let me tell you, take God's yoke today. Get the invitation. Receive what the Lord has for you and accept Him into your heart and begin this wonderful journey with the Lord.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, I hear,
wow.
That Chris has another member of the family. Did you hear about this?
No.
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Yes.
Please, would you enlighten me? Is this breaking
news?
He's
only 6 weeks old. Can you believe this?
No.
Chris, tell us about this new addition to the family.
Well, it appears. Well, we got a new member of the family, yes, 6 weeks old. And we got a puppy.
Oh, a puppy.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, it's not a
chihuahua. Haven't we tried this before?
Well, okay, so, yeah. The last dog was like 150 pounds, which didn't work out right. So yeah. We downgraded to 2 pounds.
Oh, this is good. So, this is good.
Well, you know, I really did it for my daughter, Emma. You know, she had been wanting a puppy. And, and you know, God just really started doing
Don't
an amazing work
in
her
in
life.
Like that.
What? Yes, they did.
Don't we all get suckered in like that.
Yeah. And, you know, and back during Christmas time, she was wanting a dog. You know, and you know, we had a long talk about responsibilities and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And well, I mean, she just she started. You know, we talked about it the other day, but just really started abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, she got back into it. You know, she had kind of been in an off and on thing, but God just really began to speak to her and work in her life. And she started just doing things around the house without it having to be told, you know. And it's just been amazing to see the growth that's taken place in her life over the last, you know, couple of months. And so, you know.
So you're rewarding her.
So I rewarded her.
There you go.
And she was she looked and she looked and she looked constantly for a pug. And, you know, these things are not cheap. These, you know, there's one particular store was selling them for like, $4,000. I'm like,
what?
Yeah, it's crazy.
For a pug?
$4,000 yeah. For a dog.
It's crazy. Oh, but you get 2 days of training, and it's not, no, that's not going to happen.
Ain't happening.
Well, there was a God deal No, there was a God deal that came along, and so we immediately jumped on it and went and
so it was only what, like a 2,000?
No. Nowhere near that.
Not even close, huh?
Pocket change compared to that.
Very good. Very good.
That
well, congratulations.
Awesome.
Yes. Yeah, she is very happy. She is very excited.
Congratulations.
And she's still helping out around the house. She hasn't stopped. She says, I'm going to show you. I'm
That's
not going to stop.
That's the test. Yeah. Will they continue?
Yeah.
Once they've been rewarded, will they continue to follow?
Yeah.
Nothing like a dog to help children with responsibilities and chores.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
If it goes in the house now, we're going to have problems.
Right. Well, I'm very proud of her and what she's doing. So.
That's awesome. That's a poet. Dog trainer, I tell you, she's a jack of all dog lover, jack of all trades.
Oh, I know, right?
Yep.
Amazing. Christ the Lord, the
newborn. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Did you know an accident never happens until it happens? It never happens till it happens. It may seem silly, but the truth is, people just don't believe accidents will happen until they happen. But once they happen, they believe accidents will happen. I mean, it's like you're driving your car, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody almost misses you. Well, that was almost an accident.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, most accidents occur within 5 miles of your home. And there's so many near misses, but accidents don't happen until they happen. And things don't take place until they take place. And sad thing with the human nature is we don't believe it's a reality in our life until it happens. this is what a lot of people say, until it happens to me or somebody close to me, I can't relate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that everybody else's accident wasn't real. It just means that those most of those folks refuse to acknowledge that accidents happen.
Right.
And it's a come right out and say, you know, I understand. Yeah, I understand. It's like, that's 40,000 people just died. I know, but I don't know any of them. And I'm still getting, you know, it's amazing how that works.
It's a really hard way to get wisdom. Let me tell you, it's a hard way.
It is. And it does come that way if you don't have it. And understanding that there's so many things about to happen on the earth. There's so many things about to happen. And wisdom is just shouting and crying aloud in the streets saying, you know, if you don't turn, if you don't listen to me, difficult times are coming, tough times are coming. But if you will turn, then I'll restore you and I'll forgive you and I'll even make my heart known to you. That's Proverbs chapter 1 I'm talking about. And it's like, nope, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen because, first of all, it's never happened to me. It's never happened to anybody I know. I didn't know any of my friends that ever had something like that. You know? And they say. And it's just kind of hard for me to relate because I've never had anybody like that. It's like, it happens. You know, go to the hospital. Go visit people. Go visit other nations and realize that these things are happening as we speak. It's like when you hear people talk about this tragedy that took place in the massacre in the school in Connecticut, they're relating to that, and we should. Yeah. But when you hear about 60,000 Syrians killed, it doesn't even cross people's radar. Right. It's like, you know, children are being killed, women are being killed, innocent men are being killed, and it's like it doesn't even, like, God doesn't love Syrians? That doesn't affect you? Mm. You know, starving children don't, the sex trafficking doesn't bother you? Mm. I mean, what I'm saying is like, oh my goodness, Lord, we're not even moved with the compassion, with the infirmities of others and what they're going through. And there's so many things about to happen that we're about to get empathy.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to get empathy. Mm. But I just see this unfolding of a plan, a rapid decline of the America that we used to know, that God allowed us to have, at the same time why people are continuing to push the wagon that got us in this place the first time. It's like they're shouting even louder. It's sort of like when Sodom and Gomorrah was in the weighing in the balance, and God sent angels down to be able to kind of do a real, you know, a check and see what's happening down here. And they go and they look and they say, well, yeah, it is. It's pretty bad, you know. And then they go to see Lot, and they're like days away from being totally destroyed. And so they go into Lot's house, the angels do. And then the people in the streets are saying, listen, and they wanted these angels. They actually wanted to have sex with these angels.
Mm-hmm.
And hours away, it was just the highest escalation, you know, of that. And it's just like, oh my goodness. Little did you know that within a few moments, life as you know it, and maybe your life as you know it, may cease to exist.
Mm.
And to be absent from the bodies, to be present with God at the judgment seat of Christ. And they just didn't understand that God was about to bring judgment on a nation, on a city. And with that, and it's a lot of sins that were going on, and one of the sins was sexual sin, but there was a lot of sins going on. Pride, gluttony, all these things were taking place inside. It was just total flesh, you know, anything the flesh wanted. And it's like, but they didn't even know that meteorites were going to rain down from heaven. You know, it really would only take one meteorite. You know, it's like one little small meter to knock out Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Everybody goes like, man, that must have been like raining for days, like brimstone. It's like, no, one meteor could have taken them totally out.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just sense that, and I'm watching. And you tell yourself, you're thinking, you know, I don't really want that to happen. And you say, man, I hope that this is not the case. But the problem is, wisdom shouts aloud in the streets. And if your ears are tuned to her, and tuned to him, which is Jesus himself, that you just know that if it don't turn, if we don't wake up, and with that, you got to go listen to, go to VFN TV and watch Is America Under God's Judgment? Also listen to Josiah, America, Christianity, Islam, and Israel, and listen to the State of the Nation, and understand that it looks like our president is as like God's set man. He's like God's set man, that there's no way one man could accomplish. It's so hard to accomplish anything in that office. I mean, it's just impossible. You know, they come with these great intentions, and you can't get things to move. But this man has a different thing on him that is allowing him to accomplish things that could never have been accomplished and since Roosevelt.
Alone is a sign.
Yeah.
That alone is a sign.
Yeah. The healthcare and all these kind of different things are about, you know, that was started way back in the progressive movement. That's actually what who's that president that we just really like? And
Woodrow.
President Woodrow Wilson. He wanted big government. He saw there was all these problems going on in America, and he thought the answer to him was big government. And we're not going to talk about the war that he started or got involved in because of that. But that you understand this, it's not, you don't hate anybody, actually, and you definitely don't, you know, have a bad heart towards those that God's allowing to be in leadership. But in regards to Pilate was a politician. And the people were demanding from the politician, Jesus, to be crucified, but he was willing to let Barabbas go. And what's happening in Washington, definitely what's happening by our president, he's giving America everything it asks for. Everything America's asking for. He's giving it to America. He's bringing it in. It's almost like God said, okay, I'll give it to you till it's coming out your nose. Because he's passing, you know, through executive order and through, you know, the first 4 years, he's passing things that just couldn't have been passed outside of God allowing that to take place. And it's adjusting America. And of course, I believe that, you know, his mindset is he thinks it's good what he's doing, but he doesn't know what God's accomplishing in the context of this, that when you bow up at Israel and say, we're no longer a Christian nation, it's not going to be good in the context of this. But the things that he's accomplishing is that alone, when you're getting everything you ask for and it's your flesh that's asking, you need to be really, really worried because it's very soon it's going to be coming out your nose, you know, and it's just crying aloud. Wisdom is just shouting and crying aloud in the streets saying, you know, turn. And this is what God says in Proverbs 1. He says, well, then disaster will come upon you and you'll call for me and I won't even answer. He says, I'll even laugh. You think, why would you laugh? The same way you would laugh at a little 5-year-old kid says, I'm going to do it myself. And then he falls on his face. You know, you're going to laugh. You're thinking, yeah, you see, you couldn't do it without me. And that's the kind of laughter I believe that it's going to be. But if you die in the midst of that disaster, there's no laughing matter because you didn't have time. If you die in your sin, if you don't have more life than sin, you're going to be in trouble because it's over for you. You know, it's appointed once to die and then the judgment. But I want to encourage you that personally, if you make a decision yourself, despite everything else, despite the popular vote and the popular things that are going on, to live for God, no matter what happens in the natural sense, you're going to be blessed and taken care of. But God also says that he'll place a mark on you and he will protect you and keep you. Does that mean you're not going to go through nothing? No, but it means that you can trust what you're going through. God is orchestrating it in a way. And it's going to be good how it all turns out in the end. But if you're just diving in to, you know, sin and these things begin to happen, it's not good. I mean, God may send a man to you at your deathbed to warn you like an angel where you're going to be if you don't repent. And sometimes, you know, God, there are those deathbed conversions. And that's just God is so awesome.
Gift.
It's a gift from God. I just want to encourage you, if you can't hear this, then you need to listen to this. You need to listen to VFN Radio talking to you right now. That it's loud. It is like, it's literally is vibrating nonstop. You know, my spirit probably it's just building and building and building and building and building. And understand, If everything repeats as it always was, then there will be this huge celebration right before you've been weighed in the balance and feeling left wanting. It won't like some devastation and then devastation. It will be, you've been weighed in the balances, and all of a sudden a hand's going to appear on the wall of America and begin to write on the wall that says, while they were celebrating and drinking out of the gold cups and having a party and all this kind of stuff, that's how it happens. It happens right at the peak of carnality and flesh, and like, we finally got what we want, and it's like boom.
And I think about, it's so profound what you were just saying a little earlier, that in the days of Noah, I mean, 120 years. I mean, that's the thing about sin. It's so deceptive. You get so lost in it. You've been taken over by it that they had no idea what was getting ready to happen. And they didn't know because they weren't being told. They were told for 120 years, this is going to happen. And yet they did not take heed. And you said it earlier even too about what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, moments before they're about to annihilate, God was about to annihilate that total city with destruction. These men were just so into their sin, they were being taken down to get ready to want to have sex with angels. And I think about what is happening right now in America. It's like, it's just time to repent. It's time to turn. We could be at judgment's door any second, any moment. And if we don't get our hearts right, we don't get the sin out of our life, we don't get right with God, then, you know, when it's over, it's over. There are no second chances when you stand before the judgment seat of God. I mean, it's just it. The time to turn to God is right now. If there was a chance to interview those people that were lost in the flood, believe you me, they would probably say, I think you need to listen to Noah. I think you need to listen to the messages. I think you need to listen to the people and listen to what's being said on VFN radio about getting ready, getting your heart right. I mean, there's just nothing like it. I know we're going to talk about more in the program, but that's that time of refreshing that the Lord wants to bestow on us. But there's no refreshing without repentance. And that's the thing, a problem that's been happening across the, you know, the American gospel. Give me the refreshing. Give me the blessings. Give me all the good stuff of God. But I don't want to leave this life of sin. It doesn't happen that way.
In the extra hour, we're going to be talking about getting serious with sin, getting serious about sin. And it's going to be very important because God's serious about it.
Very serious.
And we've been hearing a gospel that people are preaching things and teaching things that says God's not serious about sin. And so we have to unlearn the lies and say, wait a minute, and we're going to find out what Jesus says about sin. So it's not about saying a prayer, you know, 10 years ago. It's about praying continually and dealing with sin continually and warring with it and against it with the cross of Christ, you know, in our lives, because Jesus said very specifically, if we don't deal with the sin, we don't get serious with sin like he's serious with sin, we won't be with him in heaven. We will not be there. Period. What he says it. We're going to read it from the Gospels today. We're going to read it from Jesus's words in the extra hour. You got to catch it, and you got to hear that, because wouldn't that be wild if you fell for the lie of the enemy, the religious lie that said God's not serious about sin, and you find out that he is serious while you're standing before his judgment seat, how serious he is. That would be terrible. That would be just terrible, you know? And also, we're going to talk about what Jesus specifically talks about the people that taught someone that he's not serious about sin and what happens to them.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. The Coffee House. If you're looking for a great cup of coffee in a warm setting and nice leather chairs, they even have a fireplace, freshly made sandwiches. Also, if you're looking for a place to meet or business meetings, they have a great place for you. Go visit them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.